Welcome to Diary of the Suburban Hood Moms.
Real talk with real sisters. I'm Nikki.
I'm Andrea.
And this is episode Missing Piece.
Sponsored by Victus Equities, helping people build wealth and retirement through real estate. Today is Tuesday, November 24th, 2020. Happy early Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and that's been the smoothest opener we've had in two seasons.
Yeah, because either I forgot the date or you forgot we were actually here to record.
And I didn't do a coughing fit.
Well, don't say that. We still got fucking time. Anyway, first things first. We have to make a correction because we've been saying Kamala Harris's name wrong. We kept saying Kamala.
Yeah.
Because we have a need to want to pronounce like every single letter.
Foxpox.
Foxpox is Nikki's instead of faux pas. After or even before that one release, I was like, damn it. We kept saying
Kamala.
No, we Kamala. Kept saying Kamala, but it's Kamala. So it's Kamala.
We were putting an emphasis in the middle.
The wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
estupid.
We're estupid. Secondly, major mea culpa for skipping last week.
Uh-huh.
We just couldn't get our shit together. It was
very busy. Our days couldn't match. Mm-hmm. Well, fucking Dave. Was putting in our new floor.
He whisked me away for a quick
An overnight.
We had a little, like, husband and wifey time.
And then Nikki was
working a lot, and my kids were back to, like, in-person school.
And then I went on a date with my husband, too.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
Yeah, but we would have recorded on a Friday.
Yeah, but we remember we were like, maybe Sunday. I don't know what happened Sunday. Either way, we were fucked.
Yeah. Didn't happen. So we just were like, meh, we skipped.
It's okay.
But we're here now.
It gives everybody time to catch up on previous ones. Speaking of which, being sorry.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, Catholics, we go to confession, right? We go and we confess our sins to a priest. And we have something called the act of contrition that you say.
And it seems like it constantly changes with every generation.
Every generation has a new act of contrition.
Even yours and mine are different.
Probably. So, our parents, though, theirs started was, oh my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee.
But you said it, you enunciated it right now.
Right.
How did we hear it?
It was, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee. And I was like, why are the motherfuckers even going to confession then?
But now 30 some years later, this conversation has never been had.
No.
Until recently. And did you
say I was something? Practicing with my son.
Okay.
And I was telling he and he was like, Mom, was your act of contrition the same? I'm like, no, mine was totally different. I said, and Nana's was even more different. And I just said, Mom, I always grew up thinking you were saying that you were hardly sorry for your sins. And I always thought, like, God, that's pretty ballsy of them.
And I'm like, oh my God, me too. Because I'm like, why the fuck are they even apologizing if they're only hardly sorry? Like, why is the priest accepting this shit?
And then Chapo got all Chapo. She's like, heartily, heartily, meaning with all of my heart. I'm like, well, you know what it fucking means.
And when they would say it, they always like did the double
like, thing on their chest.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, are they doing that because they're hardly sorry? Well, like, mass, so it's punishment?
When you go to mass, you like beat your chest. Like,
that
you
just know. Started again, though.
Yeah, but that has always been. It just went away for a little while and now it's back.
Right.
So that's kind of the same thing. It's like, you know, through my fault. Anyway.
You know who needs to be sorry?
Who?
LG washers and dryers.
So I'm watching TV, I think I was watching like the Christmas movies on the Roku channel. Okay. And I'm just sitting there with Dave and we're just watching the Roku channel. And all of a sudden I hear LG washer dryer put out the following.
New LG Wash Tower. Redefine laundry in half the space.
That is an atrocity.
What do they do to ODB?
Like,
hey, dirty, baby, I got your laundry Don't you worry.
Okay, look. If my name stood for old dirty bastard, I don't want...
You don't want clean laundry.
Some fucking suburban wife...
Right.
...cleaning her laundry to my song.
I know. I sat there and I went, oh my God. What? I picked up the phone and I messaged you in that note, like, LG washer.
And I was like, okay. ODB. Until yesterday. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Awful.
ODB turning in his OD grave.
He is. Right now. So bad. So if you haven't seen it, you know what I'm talking about. If you have seen it or if you haven't seen it, Google it.
Well, you know, there's probably people YouTube it. Out there that don't even know what the original song is. And they're like, oh, what a cute jingle LG created for their washer and dryer. Fuck you, LG.
Yeah, you ruined old dirty bastard.
And in searching, I was like, you know, I'm curious who has the rights to his music, which I didn't find, but I didn't go too deep in that. But what I did find is that Flava Flav is his cousin.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
I know, but that's just funny.
I know, but I could totally see that. Is Flava Flav still alive?
Yes.
Okay.
He did Flava of Love and all that shit.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
That was like in the 2000s, but he's still alive because I just saw him on something else on TV.
Yeah, I thought he'd be dead. But yeah, anyway, no, major ODB. Travesty to Old Dirty Bastard. I just couldn't believe it. I know. So it just pissed
me off. He even served time at one point.
Yeah. And now he's got LG washing machine. And now he's got
a fucking LG washing machine.
I hope at least that his like family or someone has the rights to his music, but I'm thinking no.
Well, maybe they are. Maybe they already blew all his money.
I don't know.
And they needed something else. But I'll tell you this, we better not fucking hear Tupac.
But I tell you.
And some little tight commercial. When
I told Nikki it was going to be some little boy and girl be like, all I need in this life is sin, me and my girlfriend.
On their fucking tricycles.
Down the ride to the bloody end. Yeah.
No. Fuck that.
No.
Let them rest.
Yeah. Yeah.
They paved the way for so many.
Yeah.
And LG was not one of the ones they wanted to pave the way for.
Yeah. That's just not, it was bad. It was just ruined the rest of that cheesy knockoff Hallmark movie that I was watching on the Roku channel.
Well, now when I ever see an LG double stack wash and dryer,
I'm like, fuck you, I'm not going to buy you.
Spit at you. Bite my tongue. Bite my thumb.
I'm going to go at it like, what? What'd you say?
What? Oh, do this.
Don't make me take off my earrings.
Bitch.
Bitch.
I get the bitch.
Okay, so by the time this releases, it will be tomorrow. The day before Thanksgiving. So this time for us, Nikki has often referred to as Bob season. And we've mentioned this before, I think when we did our live or whatever, but basically 6 years ago on the 25th of November, 2014, we lost our dad. The very next day, his mother, our paternal grandmother, also passed away.
Different locations, different events.
Different.
It just was boom, boom.
Right. So for our family, it was it was a very dark time, but it was a very surreal time.
Totally.
It felt like living in a dream, not even completely a nightmare, because we saw so many people.
That's what I always tell people. Yeah. Like at his services, going from his wake to his funeral.
Right.
There were so many people we hadn't seen in years that we were excited to see because we loved them. And then there were people that we were comforting for his loss.
Right.
Which is so weird.
So backing up a little bit, we wanted to do this episode. Number one, our dad's 6 year anniversary is tomorrow. Our grandmother's is on Thanksgiving.
Which is also her birthday.
Which is also her birthday. But we know that there are so many of you out there that are dealing with a recent loss of, could be anybody, a parent, a spouse, God forbid a child, any loss. Any loss is horrible, but I think any loss that happens, say like September through January, mm-hmm. is especially shitty.
Because that holiday forever has that mark on it.
And then the first of everything that happens is marked. But we had been wanting to do this episode for a while. We tried a while back.
And it was just too like chronological and technical.
It went really long. Actually, Nikki and I, this is one of the only times we've ever tried to plan via a podcast over the phone. It was 2 hours.
We were on the phone till past 2 a.m.
Yeah, it was late.
And that one, we were actually kind of focusing more on bereavement.
Right.
And I think that's why that one just took so long.
And we were focused more on our dad, which, of course, you're going to hear our story in this episode. But our hope is so much farther beyond our dad and the loss of our dad and our grandmother. It is hopefully for anyone that has dealt with a loss. It kind of helps you to see that absolutely you aren't alone. And there are so many layers to grief.
Yes.
So.
Initially, when our dad had passed, we had such a small amount of friends who had experienced the loss of a parent. But we both noticed that in years since that number has grown exponentially.
Yeah, we are of the age, you know, where your parents are getting older and you start, if you haven't already, you start to lose your parents. Or a lot of the older, valuable senior members of your family, they start to pass away. And when our dad passed, there wasn't a whole lot of people that I felt like I could talk to,
right?
That understood. My husband, even his mom, my mother-in-law passed away the first year we were married, just after our 1 year wedding anniversary.
So how many years ago?
So almost 20.
I was gonna say, you guys were married almost 20
years.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Her 19th anniversary will be this July. So we're just a year off.
Okay.
But again, my husband was in a different phase of his life then. He was in his mid-20s. He had just gotten married. You experience death differently at different phases of your life. I know that for me, my dad's death was more profound because of my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I kept thinking of like all the things that he was going to miss.
Right.
Now that he was gone, whereas Dave and I had no children back then. We were moving. Like, it was almost like
it
just went into the shuffle of life.
Not that it didn't affect him.
Well, he even said, as we were planning this and I was talking to him about it, he said it was the same thing where he started to miss his mom even more.
Once he had kids. And then I remember when Dad passed, I had only like one girlfriend
right.
who had lost a parent. And that was like way before I had even met her.
Right.
And I had like reached out to her like, dude, how did you deal with this pain? Because right. like it was eating at my chest and she couldn't really remember.
You know, what's funny is that my sister-in-law, Dave's eldest sister, and Dave both said the same thing. When I asked them, I'm like, I stayed up one night. We were at my father-in-law's house visiting. This was maybe 6 months to a year after we lost Dad. And my sister-in-law was coming into town too she lives in Vegas. And so I stayed up waiting for her to get there because I wanted to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And she came in and I was just like, oh my gosh, I wanted to talk to you about when your mom died. How did you feel? And she kind of was like, I don't remember.
So you know what I have heard from people? Because I went to that bereavement group, right?
Right.
Because Nikki couldn't cope, y'all.
Right.
So I went to that bereavement group and a lady, they were mostly widows.
Mm-hmm.
They were like all like 60 plus.
Mm-hmm.
But one lady had like looked at me and she was like, it was just your parent. And I was like, bitch, what? And I think in talking and that conversation kept going, she wasn't really close to her parents.
So she didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. And I think people that aren't close with the person that passes.
Right.
It's kind of like, well, yeah, I mean, they were old or they were sick.
They lived their life. And,
And I was like fucking devastated.
Mm.
So I was like, what? Like, so I guess I can see now why people like might not remember or
right.
obviously not everybody experiences it the same.
So Nikki and I have said both at different times losing. So it was kind of unfortunate and fortunate at the same time, I guess, for them that we lost our grandmother at the same time we lost our dad. But the unfortunate part was it felt our grandmother's death felt so overshadowed.
Yeah, I never
by the death
her.
Of our dad. There has been no grieving of my grandmother. It's just kind of been this layer of...
And even some of Dad's siblings mm-hmm. have said that they really didn't grieve her because they were more in shock over their brothers.
Right.
So I remember like in talking to like the deacon at the church, and I was like, my grandma died the next day. I haven't shed a single tear for my grandma. At Nona's funeral,
mm-hmm.
I cried, but it's when I saw pictures of dad.
Yeah. Yeah. At the, like when they had the memorial slide and the right. music, that was at her wake.
At her wake. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but what we had said was that the death of our dad was in our adult. So you have like the day you get married, you have the birth of your children.
Right.
Those are some obviously
monumental,
huge occasions in your life. But the death of our dad was the single most impactful moment of our lives in varying degrees and for different reasons.
And that's another thing that we've said separately and right. didn't know we said it until we talked. I'm right. like, dude, I told so-and-so that. And I told so-and-so that.
Right.
But it's true.
Right. It's a really... So, I remember feeling like stepping back when the day he died, this hit me. It felt like there was this huge shift. Like, there was my mom and dad, who were kind of like at the top of the food chain.
Of the hierarchy, well, the hierarchy of the family.
And now all of a sudden, in one fell swoop, it felt like...
It shifted.
The torch was suddenly passed. Now, obviously, Chapo's still here. And she still calls the shots for so many things. Or tries to. But she was now looking at us for answers.
Yeah, and comfort.
And comfort. And what to do. And I felt this tremendous... I felt two feelings simultaneously. On the one hand, I felt a sense of relief because our dad was a type 2 diabetic. He had already had a heart attack. He was on dialysis. He was stubborn as all get out.
He was just going to start to get treatment for renal cancer, which was right. brand new at the moment.
Right. Which was actually minute compared to his other issues. But even though he had all those problems, he was a like go with the flow kind of guy.
Like full of life, like which is so yeah, odd.
Right. But I remember feeling two different emotions. I felt this tremendous sense of relief because I felt like he was only going to get worse and it would have killed me and I think everyone else around him and my dad for him to get to that point where he could no longer care for himself. So in a lot of ways, I felt like, well, if there was a way for Big Bob to go out, this was the way. It was fast, relatively speaking. And
relatively painless.
Well, he suffered for 19 days, but it wasn't like years of suffering.
And it wasn't like completely debilitating suffering. Right.
And so he went fast, which is exactly, I think, what he would have wanted.
Yeah.
He didn't lose any of his independence at all.
No.
And then at the same time, I felt the tremendous weight of responsibility just like drop on me like a 5,000 pound blanket. And I have felt that weight ever since he died. There was a lack of peace. It was like this peace that existed before, this blissful kind of denial that your parents aren't really going anywhere.
Well, and with our dad, he had literally survived
so many things. It was like almost like, nah, actually, Dave just told me that he talked to Dirty Uncle Nick on the phone. My best friend on the phone had talked to him just before my dad passed because he was calling to check in, see how dad was doing. And Dave was like, I mean, this guy's pulled out of worse shit than this.
How many times were we like, he's going to die?
Right.
He's going to die. And then Bob never died.
No.
And even one of our older nieces had said like, I didn't think he was going to die. He's gone through everything. Like, oh, Papa's not going to die.
Right.
So that was kind of the shock of it too, because he had been through
so much.
Yeah.
And then here he goes. He dies. So there was the initial shock. There was the relief on one end and then the heaviness of the responsibility.
I felt a relief for Chapo.
Right.
Because I remember, I don't know if I was talking to you or our other sister, but I was like, okay, if this happens and then this happens and she has to take care of him, then she's going to die from taking care of him.
Well, that's not how it was going to go down. And that was another reason I felt the relief.
But that's what you thought.
Oh, no, it's what I knew. She wasn't going to take care of him. It was going to come here. And I was like, I can't take care of him. I knew I wasn't going to be able to take care of him. And at the same time, how was I going to put him somewhere to be cared for? First of all, he wasn't going to go in a place like that. You know what I mean? So anyway, so that was another thing.
The other thing is, we both had this experience, is that we felt that we didn't have a dad. Like, we were orphan children or something.
Right.
Which, in hindsight, you're like, well, that doesn't make sense. You had your dads your whole life.
Right.
But it was just like, I no longer have a dad.
Right. So you feel a weird sense of like you're kind of don't belong. Like, I don't, who do I don't have someone to call dad.
And our dad had like a lot of useless, useful knowledge. Like, he knew a lot about everything. So, I mean, I always called him for the most random stuff. Like, hey, dad, I need to do this. Like, what do you know about this? Or, and so then it, that kind of amplified the, oh, shit, I don't have a dad anymore. Like, who am I going to call, make those calls to?
We also talked about, I got very distracted with the business of death. Once someone dies, you have like your camps of people, right? You have your people that are just like in their grief and they're just so like emotional about it. And then you have people that are like, well, we got to take care of business. There's, you know, ordering of death certificates and this has to be faxed to this person and this death certificate. You have to make sure you have enough death certificates to go around to all the people that want them. That's crazy
how many you need.
Yeah, a lot. I had to, you know, get on the phone with like the VA for, you know, our mom and talk to the bank and do all of these things. And that kind of can jar you out of grief, or at least distract you for a while, because you are getting down to the business of death.
And because like he was such a big booming personality person, then there was that void and that emptiness and that missing piece that was felt, I think that was felt like pretty immediately.
Yeah. I had talked to a girlfriend whose dad passed away. I want to say it was a year after our dad. And I wrote to her and I said, you know, and her dad again was like a fun dad, funny. Mm-hmm. And I said, it feels like, if you've ever seen The Never Ending Story, it feels like when the nothing comes and is just kind of taking all the life out of, oh my gosh.
There's no fun.
Fantasia.
Like, yeah.
Taking all the life, all the fun out of Fantasia. Because that's what our dad was the dad on Christmas morning. Batteries and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Assemble all the toys right away.
Played with them,
you know. So
he like would go. My mom, Chapo, hated going shopping with him at Christmas because he would test all the toys in the aisle,
and then he'd come home with like the loudest, most obnoxious ornaments. That part I don't miss. And then the other thing that happens is grief comes, it doesn't always come all at once,
right?
It comes in moments. Some are very poignant, some are incredibly insignificant. So I notoriously, as far as my family's concerned, didn't really cry at my dad's services. Not because I wasn't sad. I my heart was broken, but I had too much on my plate to really feel it. I think when I finally really truly cried was Super Bowl Sunday, because my dad would made a big deal. Everything had to be an event.
Right.
You know, the Oscars are on. We didn't get together and watch the Oscars. No, I hate to this day. I detest award ceremonies and Dancing with the Stars and shit like that. But my dad loved it. For me, I was watching the Super Bowl and I was just sitting in my room. My daughter was still really small and I was just bawling watching the Super Bowl. And Dave's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm just thinking about my dad. That's when grief, one of the rare moments that grief really came for me in an outward expression.
And I was kind of on the opposite end, along with poor Fluffer. And it hit me from like the night before through like now. So almost that first full year, like I cried a lot. Nonstop, on and off.
Yeah.
And then I went through the phases too, like the sadness and then the anger, and then it would go back to sadness. So for me, it was pretty consistent.
I think another thing, another way that we're different is in talking to, you know, other, our other siblings. You know, we used to text each other a lot, like, you know, somebody was like driving to work and saw the sunrise and they felt dad, or somebody saw something and they felt dad. I literally, to this day, I don't feel his presence anywhere.
No, I didn't either.
I don't feel him in anything. And I think that for me has been, that has been the thing where I just, I'm like, he is gone. I dream him.
I was just going to say.
I dream him quite often, actually. And almost always I dream him young. And he knows, he's still dad. He knows me. I know him. But I always dream him young. But I never, other than that, I don't ever feel him in any way. I don't ever feel, miss his guidance, because I had already long gotten to a point where I had stopped going to my parents for guidance. So I wasn't like, oh, let me pick up the phone and see what dad thinks about this. I was never that person. Our relationship was more a lot of banter, a lot of conversation. I never really called him and asked him how to make anything. I just figured it out. I didn't have that sense of missing him. Mine was just like how much stuff. I felt like he had already taught me everything that he was going to teach me in to get me through my adult years. I had already learned all that I could possibly learn, I felt, from my dad at that point. But what I felt was just that huge loss for my kids. That's where that.
And I, in the beginning, I dreamt about him a lot, but because I was so aware that he was dead, when I did dream about him, sorry, I couldn't like speak to him. I've told you that before.
Right.
Like I would want to talk to him and he was like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like a unaware of your presence.
Right. Or like didn't know me. And then finally at one point, like when I stopped trying to like reach him and was like, okay, he's dead. Like I can't in my dream bring in like the reality.
Uh-huh.
Then in my dreams, like it was like a normal interaction. So, but I dream about him pretty often, but then I wake up and I'm like, oh, that was so cool. Like you got to quote unquote, like visit with dad.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. For me, it was, I actually had conversations with him. I had questions for him, or I was like mad about something, or he was like antagonizing me about something. I was able to have dreams of his father, who I never met, come through. Now, I'm not someone who believes that dreams are our dead relatives coming to visit us. I don't believe that. I think that is our subconscious mind helping us process. I mean, what happens when we sleep, right? We repair, we grow, we heal. So I feel like that's kind of what was happening in my dream. I don't personally believe that. But we did talk
a lot. What we both were saying yesterday too, like we still have his numbers in our phones.
Oh yeah, I still have his phone number in my phone, even though that's no longer
his number.
His number, but it's still there, like saved in my phone. I think there's like a weird comfort looking and seeing like, okay, there's this, as I scroll through, it's like Dave, you know, dad, then there's Dave.
Right.
There's a comfort in seeing him there.
And I didn't realize how many times a day, as we talked about yesterday,
right,
that I spoke to him until after. Cause then I was like, oh, dad knows whatever about this. I'm like, oh shit. Like you don't realize that too until after the fact.
Yeah.
I felt this, Andrew didn't feel this. So right after like the Christmas that he passed, I went to California with my dad's side. Andrew had stayed back here with the Arizona family and we were at his brother's house. And normally with an event on his side, you would walk in, find our dad, and like that's where you would go and sit. So I went in and he wasn't there obviously to sit with. And I felt so out of place at a family function on his side. Whereas before I never felt that. And obviously nobody was being weird or anything. Like everything was still the same, but I just almost felt then like a guest within the family that I never felt like that before.
you know, yeah, like Nikki said, I didn't feel, me personally and how I interacted with people felt absolutely no different whatsoever. But I had been mentally preparing myself for my dad's passing for a long time. And maybe that's because, you know, our mom has battled an illness for forever and ever. Our grandmother lived with us and, you know, helping take care of her. So for me, it was never this idea of like, oh, well, he's never going to go. I knew it was going to happen. But obviously
not so fast,
you know, as fast as it did happen was a little jarring.
And so because he passed 2 days before Thanksgiving, I remember that day we were all here and like just the siblings left once everybody left. And we were like, do we still do Thanksgiving? Like a couple of people had asked.
Oh, absolutely.
And the majority was like, well, yeah, we still have to eat.
Well, and that was Thanksgiving was our dad's favorite holiday.
Like he kept saying in the hospital, I'm going to be home for Thanksgiving.
Right.
I'm out by Thanksgiving.
Right. And so we felt, and in that sense, that was a time where I can say I felt a lot of pride in my siblings. So sometimes when a parent dies, siblings go to war. And for us, it was a moment of true solidarity between the six of us in that everyone kind of came together and was like, you know, hey, we're going to celebrate dad, not and focus on like the good stuff. And that's really what we did for quite a while. We really focused on celebrating him.
So we definitely had a Thanksgiving. It was definitely different, but I mean, we still went through with the whole, and that's probably one of our best Thanksgivings, like as a group.
Yeah, it was bittersweet. It really was very, very bittersweet, but the holidays have changed. Yes. Obviously, you know, that happens. You grow up and you no longer, the minute your parents stop hosting holidays, if your parents are the ones that host them, the holidays start to change. But our dad was a traditionalist. Things had to be, you had to have a traditional meal.
So even if he wasn't the one hosting it, him and Chapo still dictated most of how the holiday went down.
Right. Like, so Chapo would say stuff like, you know, like, oh, did you make that right? And what is that? Like, even if she wasn't cooking anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, one Thanksgiving while he was still alive.
And thank God I didn't go to that one.
We, the person in charge of that holiday decided to do it at a restaurant. And OMG, Bob was pissed.
Yeah.
I think Chapo was too.
I think a few people were mad because they were, again, they're traditionalists. There was like, where was going to be the leftover turkey? And how are you going to have leftover ham sandwiches if there's no
ham? Yeah, because he liked his leftover sandwiches, definitely.
Right. But so once our dad was gone and now Chapo didn't have as much control over the menu anymore, we have been a little bit more free.
To slowly do.
Now this coming Thanksgiving is very traditional.
Yeah.
The menu is like uber traditional.
Well, she's here.
I'm almost like I have a stomachache thinking about it. But last Thanksgiving was a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because she was in California.
But we've been saying for a while, though, like, that we wanted to do, like, newer, fun traditions.
Yeah, because for, like, our dad, it was like, you ate, and then the TV was on.
Yeah.
And it was like, bleh. Everyone just sat there like, ugh. It was loud still.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people. But
it wasn't until, like, all the kids came around, like, board games kind of came into play.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I think somebody did, like, the decorative placemats, yeah, like, for everybody.
Yeah.
But that was kind of, like, more as the kids came.
Right.
And we're like, dude, let's freaking do it our way. Like, let's have fun. So now we can kind of
start to change things up without completely losing the old family traditions and things like that. But this time of year is incredibly bittersweet for us because I think as soon as we get to like October, I start to feel it like
right around Halloween.
And it's like walking around with this really odd like weight, like, you know, in the pit of your stomach and you're not sure why. I don't always associate it right away with dad.
Bob season.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, ugh, I don't know what it is. Or
it's like when the weather starts to change a little bit
and it gets darker earlier. And you're just in this like, blah.
And one of us will call each other and be like, it's Bob season.
It's Bob season. Yeah. You start to feel it. So there were some hopes. So this was our little story. We didn't want to make this 100% just about us and just about our dad. We wanted to talk about grief in general. And especially right now with COVID, if you're someone who's lost a family member, God forbid, during COVID, and haven't been able to appropriately celebrate their life or grieve them or any of that stuff, our hearts go out to you, because that would be really difficult to do, because we were very fortunate to have a huge number of people that were there to help celebrate the life of our dad and our grandmother when they passed.
Mm-hmm.
But what we wanted to talk about was the reactions to grief. And the number one thing is that everybody's reaction is acceptable.
As you can see here.
Yeah, it's different, right? With Nikki feeling it more raw. She even said yesterday, God, I hope I don't cry during this. And I thought, why would you cry? But we're different. We're different people. We're gonna see it differently. And I cry a lot more now than I used to.
You've cried more recently than you have in the last 10 years.
But I don't cry about this. Yeah. Because for me, it doesn't make any rational sense for me to cry about that. But still, Nikki's reaction is appropriate, because for her, it's raw that way. What isn't acceptable is forcing your ideas or your form of coping on other people. And mm-hmm. we've seen that too.
Yeah.
We've seen people like, why are you crying like that? It was just your grandma. Like when our Nana passed away and she was in her 90s, there was a third or fourth, like her great-grandchildren was like, made a comment just like, I mean, whatever.
Because they weren't close with her. But yeah. She lived with us.
And it was like.
So it was like.
I wanted to kill the little fucker. Like, what are you talking about? But, you know. Another thing that I think is really important is not to force or guilt anyone into being involved in family gatherings if they choose to step away for a little while. Sometimes after someone passes away and then they're no longer there, their presence can feel, the loss of their presence can feel overwhelming. And so they choose not to, you know, like, I'm just not going to go. And I don't think it's anyone's place to say, no, you have to be here. Your brothers and sisters are here, or your great aunt Margaret's here, or whatever. It's like, no, just leave them alone.
Yeah.
Give them space and time, however long that may take.
Or like we mentioned, like the different stages of grief earlier, and not everybody's in the same stage at the same time.
No.
Some skip a stage, some double up on a stage.
Yep.
Like you can't expect everybody right. to be like the same way that you are.
Right.
Go ahead.
The other thing is not to assume that people are not grieving. Now, this one I feel personally, because this one really upset me. I remember people saying, like, she doesn't even cry about dad. Is she even sad, or does she even care? It's like, are you serious? Because I'm not texting in a Hallmark card, like, my feelings doesn't mean that I don't feel it. It just means I'm feeling it differently than other people.
And that's not how you express anyways.
Well, mine comes out like when I write. Mine comes out in one-on-one conversations with people. But other than that, it feels forced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just feels like a forced reaction. And then it's almost like I start to like retreat even further and have an even harder time expressing what I'm feeling. Because now it's like, almost like being expected to perform.
Right. Well, and then like we mentioned, like we call it like the season of Bob, right?
Right.
So it's almost like every year we, in a sense, relive it. And that's okay. But we really, I know like us, like we push each other not to stay in it. Like,
I think that's the only thing that is not acceptable about grief, is to not stay in it. Not to stay at the bottom of that pool of grief. I think it has to be stated that the importance of counseling, if you need to talk to someone and you can't talk to anyone in your family, and if you don't want to go to a counselor talk to a religious leader or talk to a friend. I don't think it's okay to dump your grief onto somebody else who's also dealing with the same grief.
And that's like, I remember Zach came home one day and I was just crying and he was like, I don't, like, he didn't know what to do with me.
Right.
And he was like, you should, like, he gave the suggestion to go to church, which I never thought of. Right. And then there was like this whole bereavement thing. And I remember in talking to the deacon at that time, who reminded me so much of Dad, that I was like, why am I going to go to my siblings when this, when they're trying to process their own grief?
Right.
And we all dealt with it differently and we were all at different stages of it.
But I think it is okay to ask your people that are dealing with the same kind of grief, hey, have you been feeling this way? And they might surprise you and say, yeah. Or they might be like, no. Okay, well, then that's not the person that you need to talk to. You know, that's where it goes beyond. There is a girl I follow on Instagram. I've been following her for years, and her husband died last October. He was born with like a heart condition, and they were in the process of trying to get him another transplant. They had three young kids, and I watched her throughout the year really deal with her grief about her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that she had posted one time, and I felt that this was beautiful, was that here's the thing that they want you to know, that long after like the groups go home and the parties end, they're still dealing with grief. Mm-hmm. Don't avoid talking about the person that died. Like, yeah. Talk about them. Keep it helps to keep their spirit like alive, their memory.
I remember at our Nona's funeral, the after thing, I was talking to one of our cousins whose dad had passed like a couple years before.
Right.
And she had girls.
Right.
And I was like, what do you, like, you're, because she said that her girls talk about her dad.
Right.
And I'm like, how do they remember? Like, what do you do? And she was like, honestly, Nikki, I talk about him all the time. She's like, I tell him his stories.
Right.
I have his picture up.
Right.
And I think we've done pretty good with the kids with that, because they hear Papa stories all the time.
And not just the good ones. We tell the bad stories too.
Oh yeah.
Because, you know,
and that's the other thing that, and that kind of bugs me sometimes with people, is that they want the person that passed
suddenly is a saint.
Yes.
Life was perfect.
And
it was a Leave It to Beaver existence.
Yeah. And that's not true. No. Like, not everybody is perfect. So I'll tell Antonia too, like, Papa could be grumpy sometimes.
Right.
And we would talk about how grumpy Papa could be.
Oh yeah.
Super grumpy. This or that. And that's important too. Like, don't romanticize it, as you would say.
Yeah.
So much. Like, be honest about it. Be like how that person was.
Yeah. That helps. And it helps to explain you sometimes to your kids or whatever. Like, this is what my parents were like. And
so this is why I do this or don't do this.
Right.
And the first, like, so if you don't have someone that has passed, but someone close to you does, and they make a big deal about the first Christmas after this person's passing.
Because the first everything is major. Yes,
everything that is the first after is a huge deal to the person grieving.
Right.
So don't minimize that.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's important. Like, you notice those voids the most.
Yeah. You don't want to be like, oh, my God, get over it.
Right.
You don't want to do things like that. I think it's important to allow people the time and the space to grieve for as long as they feel they need to, as long as you notice that they're moving forward. And that's where support systems come in.
And on that note, it's funny you said that, because there are people like, yeah, I'm totally sad about Dad.
Right.
But I can still get on about my day.
Right.
You know, I don't cry every day.
Right.
But there are people that like can't move on at all.
Yeah.
And I really just had to kind of step away from them.
Right.
Because then they were downers. Because then I'm talking to them and I hang up and I'm like all bummed out.
Right.
Or every phone call is them crying about him.
Right.
And so it's okay too to step away from people that are like bringing you down.
But, and I think the most important thing, I think, whenever you're dealing with something like grief, is to realize that it is okay to find happiness again, to find happiness in the moments in life. Laugh when kids do something funny or enjoy yourself out with a group of people. What isn't healthy is to now cut yourself off from groups because it's like, oh, well, I'm the only one without a dad, or I'm the only one there without a husband, and I don't want people looking at me. No one's thinking about you that way.
No.
Except for yourself.
Right.
And it's...
You're ostracizing yourself.
Yes, which is like the worst thing to do after something like grief is to just fold in on yourself. But ways to commemorate them, to celebrate that life that was lived, I honestly think is like the best way to move on from grief.
Yeah. I mean, and for some people, seeing that constant reminder might be too painful. Sure. So obviously you don't want to do it. But for others, like, I have dad's pictures all throughout my house.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be pictures. It can be, you know,
a trinket that reminds you of them.
Sure. A tradition that you had, a place you went that you enjoyed. And I don't know. I mean, we don't have all the answers. We only know what has or has not worked for us. But, you know, this was, Nikki was the one that really wanted to do something about our dad. And this time of year, grief feels bigger during Christmas. I don't know what movie we saw that in.
I
think it's Mixed Nuts.
Yes. Right? And sadness is.
Everything that's sad seems so much sadder during Christmas. That's what he says. And any kind of loneliness feels so much more lonely during Christmas. So, I mean, that's also a call to arms to people who have not lost anyone and does know somebody that has suffered tremendous loss, is pick up the phone, check in on your family and your friends who have dealt with loss, or invite them to come to the table.
Don't
with you
assume
and yours.
Because that they are sad that they don't want to. Maybe they're just waiting for somebody to call them,
right?
Because they don't want to make that call,
right?
And since our dad had passed, all of a sudden I had a ton of friends who's like lost a parent,
right?
And then they were like, because I was so open with my grieving process with our dad, that they were like reaching out to me during their grief, and then it felt good in a sense that your pain was kind of like
has a purpose.
Yeah, it's like, no dude, that feeling's totally normal. Yes, right. I experienced that. That's totally normal.
Yes.
But I thought about this last night, and I had messaged Andrea. There were good things that came out of dad passing.
Right.
I think as a unit, especially immediately after, the siblings got along really well.
Yeah. I mean, we're a little shaky right now, but that's more just family. That's brother
dynamic.
That's brother sister stuff.
Yeah.
But there's not a doubt that it's not something that will eventually pass. We as a sibling, as six siblings, have very strong personalities. So we love hard and we fight hard.
Right.
But there is never a feeling like, well, forget it, I don't have that person in my life anymore.
And there was more of an emphasis to like get the kids together more often, across state lines and
make
stuff.
Make those memories for our kids so that they can say like, hey, you know, we had a blast growing up
with our cousins,
with our aunts and uncles, because our parents did that for us with, you know, their families.
Right.
We have a lot of wonderful memories from an imperfect childhood with a lot of perfect memories.
That's so Hallmarky.
Oh my God. What else?
That was it.
That was it. That's what we wanted to cover. I mean, we hope that this holiday finds you and yours well. If you're not celebrating in person with family, that you do a virtual celebration, like actually get to see each other. But the minute all this COVID shit is done, go and spend as much time as you can with your parents while they're around, because, you know, I think the one beautiful thing that I never felt was any kind of regret when it came to my dad, because I knew that the minute that man became a grandfather to my children, I was never going to deny him access to them. So sometimes it was to my detriment where it was like, okay, my kid's bedtime is like 7 o'clock when they were little, and like 7:05, my parents are in my driveway. And they have my garage code, so my garage is opening, and they have a key. But my mom's calling saying, your dad wanted to see the kids. And I'm like, but I'm putting them to bed. But it was like, well, come on in, you know, because I had said I will never deny my parents. Sometimes I could just kick myself in the ass for saying that. But it's true. because it's such a short time, you know, when you really think about it.
I told Zach, I was like, it was super fortunate that we moved here when we did.
Yeah.
Because Antonia got that whole year with him.
Yeah.
Had we not moved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. So, I mean, take that time. Enjoy the people in your life. It's okay that, you know, they annoy you, whoever the person is, or the person that died, if it was a spouse or a sibling or a parent. It's okay to go like, oh, my God, they used to get on my fucking nerves. You can still love them while admitting the truth about how they made you feel.
And do what you want to do for the holiday. If you're just miss them and don't want to be around a bunch of people and noise, it's totally cool
not to
just
to.
Stay in your bubble and do your own thing.
Right. It's okay to put on sad Christmas music on purpose to make you cry. Remember, tears are cleansing.
I'm so clean.
It's a way to de-stress and give your body what it needs.
And on the opposite, it's okay to be happy too.
Absolutely.
If you want to go and laugh, don't feel guilty that you're experiencing happiness. Because if you truly believe that once they pass, they're in peace, despite what religious beliefs you may or may not have, then you shouldn't feel guilty for being happy after they're gone.
No. So that's all we have for this week. We just wanted to give you our little take on our dad, and, you know, not to minimize the loss of our grandmother, because that was huge, but she had been battling dementia for a long time. So for her to finally pass, I felt like that piece, like,
for her,
there's a part of me that's like, dad came and was like, you're done, mom. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
And that's like a comforting feeling to know that, you know, she was just right there behind him, in the end. So, and that's it. That's our week. That's our week this week.
If there's a topic that you'd like to hear us talk about, slide into our DMs and let us know. Also, if you're following us on iTunes, head over and leave us a comment. We love reading what you have to say. Unless it's bad, then keep that shit to yourself.
Don't forget to like, share, and follow. So, that's all for this week. Vaya con Dios. Please stay safe and wear your masks. Take your vitamins like good little Hulkamaniacs. And have a very happy Thanksgiving.
Now get the fuck out.
Peace.